Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders. MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson. And your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. The National is almost here. We're going to give away a VIP package tonight to a lucky retweeter or a lucky caller. We're going to talk a little elite football review and just overall hobby news. And then later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Donovan from CardboardTracker.com to talk prospects and most watched auctions. So that should be pretty exciting. I got Dan on the line. What's going on, Dan?
What's going on? How you doing?
And Ryan, what's going on?
What's up? Can you guys hear
what's
me?
What's up? Chilling. It's been a while, son.
I know. I got kidnapped.
How was the Pearl Jam concert?
You know, I've seen them a lot, so it was great, but what happened was there was a three-hour rain delay after they had played about nine songs. They came back, they started playing at about 8 o'clock, went to about 9, three-hour rain delay, came back at midnight and played till 2 in the morning. It was a great show, but I think the rain delay kind of sucked the energy out of some of the Midwest crowd. For me, I was still running on Pacific time, so it was like no big deal to me, but I could just tell people were kind of tired, but it was fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Everybody there was just in really good spirits and just loving the atmosphere there. The atmosphere there is incredible. Wrigley Field is amazing. Like, and I got to go down onto the field. I went into the dugout like after the concert was over. I mean, that was kind of an experience all in itself. So, great time. Had a great time there.
That's awesome. A lot of bands wouldn't do that. A lot of bands would be like, "Well, you guys got nine songs. Sorry.
Right.
See you later."
Right. I'm glad they didn't do that because I think it would have – there was about 50,000 people there. I think it would have been like a mob scene if they had said, "Oh, sorry, that's it." So I know there's a curfew there, so somehow they were able to get the curfew extended, and they literally played till after 2 in the morning local time. I mean, it was really late getting out of there. I didn't get back to my hotel room till like 4:30, so it was just a very late night overall.
Well, I do got to say, Pearl Jam is all about kind of going against the grain when it comes to stuff like that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if there is a curfew, and they probably, I mean, either them or their management or somebody probably got penalized pretty hard for going over that curfew, because I don't think the city of Chicago would be like, "Oh, well, there's a rain delay, so we're going to go ahead and waive this curfew for you." I don't think so. They probably had to pay a pretty big fine for that. Because I know here in they do like the Bridge School benefit once in a while.
Yeah.
Once a year at Shoreline, and I know Neil Young will go over the curfew, and they just start. I mean, it's like tens of thousands of dollars. Like every half an hour that you're going over, it's like tens of thousands of dollars. Neil Young's like, "Whatever, like, it's a benefit show. I'm just gonna sit here and rock out all night until I don't feel like doing it anymore." So they probably got penalized like tens of thousands of dollars for going over.
You're probably right. But, yeah, you know it.
Which is pretty rock and roll. I mean, that's rock and roll.
Yeah, baby. It was sweet.
You know what somebody needs to make, and if I, you know, ever built up the cash flow to do it, it would be something. If I ever started a card company and I wanted to come up with an innovative idea. And maybe it's not innovative because I know they've had artists and stuff and sets, but it would be awesome to have like an autograph set of just different musicians. You could have so many subsets of like heavy metal, grunge, and have like, you know, any vendor probably doesn't sign a whole lot or something. Get these guys to sign some cards and make like an all music set. And then you could get cut autos of some of like Johnny Cash, stuff like that, throw it into a set and just like have different series you can spin off of it. You know, we've seen how much Axl Rose sold for already once, you know, from Topps. I think having a freaking music set would be like an amazing collectible, you know, thing. What do you guys think?
You know, they actually, they had something like that. I actually have a, you know, Doug, you know the band Violence, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I actually have a trading card of Violence, and I think it was from a set, like, I want to say, like, early 90s, like, late 80s, early 90s, and they had, like, a bunch of, like, thrash bands, and I forgot the company that made them, but, yeah, they were, like, I mean, they had no autos or anything. That would be super cool, but, yeah, it was, like a thrash, like, a heavy metal thrash, like, set. They had, like, Metallica, and they had Violence, and, like, Anthrax, and stuff like that. And,
I think it had MTV. It was I know Yo MTV Raps had a set, but I think it was kind of along the lines of an MTV set, like maybe it was a Headbangers Ball set that they made. I think that's what you're talking about.
Dude, I got it with me right now. I realize it's in my car, and that's like one perk of doing this radio show for my car because I have a bunch of, you know, hidden treasures in here. So here it is, dude. It's made by Pro Set. Superstars,
wow.
Music cards, Violence. There's Rob Flynn from Fremont, California, right there.
Wow.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome. It's actually in a screw down holder as well. This is pretty badass. I'm gonna get it graded.
So you're saying the screw down is probably worth more than the card.
Well, I mean that's your opinion.
Well, I mean, if you make a music set, I mean, look at this. I mean, this is the only time you're going to hear this guy's name out of my mouth in a show, but Justin Bieber, if you were able to throw him in a set, you imagine how much a one-of-one of aforementioned name, Justin Bieber, in a set. You know how much, like, teeny bopper girls would get their dads to pay for? I mean, that would be like the white whale of that set, you know, if you put, like, short print it to 10, but then have cool, like, Kirk Hammett autos and James Hetfield. I mean, you could just do so many things with, like, a music. I mean, Leafs pop culture does well, but I'm saying just niche it down to a music set. I would think that would be like a really cool, maybe just for me, but I mean, I think it would be a good little moneymaker set.
I think this is the hottest PC card I have right now.
The Ryan Braun's aren't working out?
No. Dude, Pro Set Superstars, Violence, what's up? I think I'm gonna have to jump on eBay now and see what else they have in this set, man. This is card 243, so come on, got to be a 250 card set.
Nice, and yeah, Andrew brings up a good point. Panini does have Justin Bieber and One Direction as far as you can get those in Target. I'm not sure if there's autos, but there's probably short prints and stuff. But yeah, I'm saying expand it a little bit more further. Include all music. I mean, you got country music is. Whether we like it or not, country music is popping right now. I mean, you can start throwing some country music guys like Jason Aldean in the set, have him sign, have like a country subset. I mean, you could kill it with like just these musicians because people idolize these guys, you know? I mean, it'd be pretty crazy.
Well, you could do like a guitar, like legends, like subset as well. And like, imagine like how much a Jimi Hendrix cut auto would go for.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, and that's like opening up the floodgates to a completely different market.
Yeah.
Because musicians like collectibles, too. I mean, I know tons and tons of, like, I have tons of friends who, like, collect vinyl, and they, like, try to get the vinyl signed, and they basically make it a conversation piece in their living room or man cave or whatever they got. And, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a... It's a cool idea.
Well, you could do relics, too, if you got a guitar, you know. You could, I mean, obviously you probably wouldn't want to really cut up the guy's favorite guitar, but you could get a guitar that he maybe had and cut it up and put it into his relic cards. You could get DJs in there like Funkmaster Flex and get, you know, maybe used vinyl that he used at a show. I mean, there's so many, obviously, game or like shirts from concerts and stuff like that that you could cut. I mean, you could do so many things, but... I don't know. Somebody's got to do it. You know, somebody should put that out one of these days.
Dude, music's a hard industry. I bet these artists would be totally down with signing a deal with either Topps or Panini because not making any money on record sales anymore. So,
exactly.
Shit. Supplement some income over here and start signing some cards.
Well, I got Rich on the line. I'm going to bring Rich on. We're going to talk real quick about our little national party that we got going on. Rich, what's going on, buddy?
Hello. What's up, everyone?
What's
Not
up?
Much, man. How's things treating you, man? What's been hot at the shop lately?
2013 Elite Football has been going off the shelves pretty quickly in the shop.
Nice.
That and the other one we got in was we had a case of Leaf Trinity, or two cases of Leaf Trinity, and we busted a bunch of them for mixers and stuff. The other one actually sold off the shelves. Just by single boxes, so.
Yeah, that stuff's been extremely hard to get. Leaf Trinity, I think Brian Gray hit a winner with that set, but wanted to bring Rich on to talk about our first annual, I guess we call it a Breakers Party, Mojo Break and Leighton Sports Cards. We're throwing a private party at the National at the Rivers Casino Cube Bar on Friday at 6 p.m. So, Rich, why don't you talk about some of the workings that we got going for this party.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know you guys are really looking forward to this, and we put in a lot of time, a lot of effort has gone into getting this together. We have a lot of special guests that will be there. The guys from Panini will be there. Tim Franz, I believe he's president of sales. For Panini. Tracy Ackler obviously will be there. Dave Sharp will be there. I believe we might have a guest appearance by Brian Gray himself from Leaf Cards. Everybody's going to be bringing some cool swag for our customers, some giveaways. We're going to do some raffles for special stuff for everybody that shows up, that RSVP'd and everything. We got special T-shirts made for everyone. It's going to be a blast. I believe it's 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. We suggest probably getting there a couple minutes ahead of time. It's Friday, August 2nd. It's in the Cube Sports Bar inside of the Rivers Casino in Chicago. There's going to be free food, free drinks, a bunch of hors d'oeuvres and everything. You'll get, I believe, 3 drink tickets. So you get 3 free drinks, maybe more. I don't know how it's going to work, but 3 free drinks all on us. And, like I said, it's going to be a blast. A whole lot of time and preparation has gone into this just to getting everything worked out. Sarah, my wife, has worked extremely hard on getting all this together, so kudos to her. And, you know, of course, we all appreciate the work she does for everybody. So, you know, let's all go out, have a good time at the party, and hopefully we can see if Double Down Dan can finish more than one drink.
Maybe.
I think Dan's going there with the purpose of drinking like 15 drinks in an hour. I think he's gonna wear the WWE belt of drinking champions for that night, or at least one of the nights there out of the four. So
I don't think anybody needs to see that.
Oh man, classic.
So, yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. And, yeah, I mean, basically the goal was, you know, there was options to get a booth and do breaks from the National. But we thought, you know what, it's best to we got a lot of customers coming, us and Rich both. And we thought, you know, getting some FaceTime and showing that thank you for your support of our websites is kind of a better way to do it. Because if we were doing breaks constantly, we wouldn't be able to talk to anybody and it would be madness and we wouldn't be able to throw a party. So we figured that would be the best course to take at the National to say thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about, is trying to give back to the customers, show them a good time in a place where I've never been before, and neither has my wife. We want to make everybody feel at home. We want to be able to actually meet everyone face-to-face, get out from behind our keyboards and monitors, talk to everyone, see how they feel about what's going on in the industry, get them some cool giveaways that they would not ever normally have a chance of getting at something like this. Show them also that we have the support of companies like Panini. These guys have gone above and beyond for us as online group breakers and online case breakers. Even as for my hobby shop, being a hobby shop owner, they have gone jumped through hoops for me in terms of promoting my shop and everything else. So, we want to show our customers exactly what these manufacturers are all about, what they do for us, what they do for them, what they believe in. And like you said, it's just a good thing all around. And like you said, I think it's a perfect thing that we didn't get a booth in that sense. I think we can spend more quality time with our customers. I think everybody gets more enjoyment out of the trip in itself this way. And we still get to see each other. We still get to talk. We still get to see cards and get some cool giveaways. And no matter what, everybody still has a good time this way. So. I think it's a win-win nice. For everyone.
Well said. Well said, for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to just land down in Chicago. I mean, me and Rich have talked off-air about, just not being able to sleep. Just I can't wait for the event itself. I've never been there, believe it or not. I don't know what to expect. I mean, I've read all the promotions that's going on, which we'll talk about later in the show. We're also going to have a national preview show next week, but I can't wait. I'm like a kid waiting to go to Disneyland, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been stressing over this. We've only spoken with these people through emails and photos and texts and phone calls and this and that. Yet to have been to the actual venue where we're going to be having this. So it's a very stressful situation. We just sent over logos for them to use for signage to promote the party, so people know where they're going and everything right. else. So it's becoming very official now. It's getting a little nerve wracking for me. So
yeah, and if you're listening in and you haven't heard about it, and you want to find out more details, either tweet me or Rich or Mojo Break or Sports Card Live for that matter. On Twitter, and if you want to find out how to get in, if you're going to be in Chicago and you want to come hang out with other collectors and share some experiences with Panini and Leaf, definitely hit us up on Twitter, at RichLayton42, at MojoBreak_com, and at SportsCardLive. One of us will let you know how to meet us down there, and we'll be walking around. I know we will. I know Rich will. We'll be walking around the show and talk to us there and say, hey, how do I get into this party? So try to get us, we probably can't give the drinks to everybody, but, it's a bar. You can buy drinks and, hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a public venue. As for the T-shirts and the people who RSVP'd ahead of time, they will be guaranteed the giveaways and the T-shirts and everything else. But if you just want to come and hang out and say hi to us, we'd really appreciate that. Everybody is welcome, obviously. It's a bar. We did not rent out the entire bar for ourselves, but we have a good portion of it that's kind of roped off for our private event. There's also, I believe, a back deck area that we might be using. So, this is a great chance for, if there's other case breakers and online group breakers out there that want to stop by and say hi, they're more than welcome to. I know there's a lot of us that have kind of been working side by side without really knowing each other and stuff like that. We got to meet a lot of them at the summit, but I know there's still some others out there that might be in Chicago. If you want to stop by and just say hi, and, that would be great. Everybody's welcome, and it's going to be a great time. I cannot wait.
Definitely. Yeah, it's going to be fun. So, Rich, the site is LaytonSportsCards.com. I mean, and what's been some of the big pulls that you guys have gotten lately?
Oh, geez. Put me on the spot here.
I know.
We just got a nickname card, the Bryce Harper out of Sterling nickname card. Redemption, obviously, nice. But I believe it's a live card. I think I'm on eBay. I could be mistaken. I think it's a live card now. But we pulled one of those the other day out of like a 4-box baseball mixer.
was like, you know, very cheap purse pot break and pulled a, you know, high value card. I always love it when that happens. When you get into a break for cheap and a huge card like that comes out, it makes it fun for everyone. We got a, we've pulled a lot of really solid hits lately. It's been going really well. I can't really think of any of the huge hits off the top of my head. I know we had a few one-of-ones here and there. We had a, you know, a lot of happy people lately, so things have been going pretty well. I saw Mojo Break pulling two pen pal autos yesterday. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, that was fun. It's always fun when you get those cards. Well, it's just fun opening packs in general, but, you know, pulling those that Andrew Luck RG3 Trent Richardson triple on card auto was nice. And I know you guys actually didn't. Wasn't it last week that you pulled that Andrew Luck RPA, I think, out of NP?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was out of the one football mixer the other night with the autographed jersey and everything else. The Leaf autographed jersey, we had NT in it and a few other, I think Trinity was in it. And sure enough, one of our newer breakers actually pulled that card, Andrew Luck RPA to 49. So it was, I believe,
wow,
the gold parallel. Beautiful patch. That was a pristine card, too. Nice centering, nice corners. That was a really pretty card.
Nice. Well, Ryan, moving on to Ryan about, are you going to go see, have you caught any minor league games out there yet? I know you said you're going to see Mark Appel and Correa tomorrow, correct?
Yes, I should be doing that tomorrow. I'll be going to Iowa. So it should be really interesting. And then I'm going to come up to Chicago and do the thing up there. So you guys' event is on Friday?
Yeah, you're on
Friday night. Friday night, and it's at one of like the riverboat casinos on the lake. Is that how that works?
Yeah. I think there's only one.
The Rivers Casino, I believe it's actually called.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. And just to clarify, Rich said raffles. I mean, all your raffles that you're going to be doing are 100% legit. So I just wanted to.
I thought I meant to say Raz.
Oh, Raz, excuse me. Anything that, you know, Mojo Break and Rich Lane Sports Cards does that involves raffles is going to be 100% legit.
No,
so
these are door prizes. These are virtually door prizes that we'll be doing. When I say raffle, I literally mean grabbing a raffle ticket out of a hat and hoping for the best. Nothing else. These are literally products given away and donated by Panini and Leaf and whoever else. We have some other special giveaways that we're going to be doing. So it's all donated, and it's all to go to our customers for free. So, yeah. Raz in a sense that, yes, it will be done in a different light, if you will.
Yes, yeah, very gracious for the companies that donate prizes. They're very gracious for the companies that donate prizes. It's going to be for a great cause. You guys, both you guys do just amazing things for collectors, and you treat your customers right, and you have integrity behind what you guys do. So it's very exciting. I encourage anybody to get in touch with these guys. I'll be there. I guess I should throw that out there that I'll also be there. I won't be partaking in any of the contests and stuff. So it actually gives you a better odds because I want, you know, customers and people who have traveled a long way.
That's great, Ryan. We look forward to having you, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. So that's very exciting. So Friday, 6 o'clock, you will see my face in that bar. So that'll be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And, Ryan, if you want to get in the contest, just gift me a PayPal, you know,
we'll
get you in there.
And then put me in a random.org. See, I'll get my brother to do it, too, put us both in a random.org so that only one of us gets something. Okay, but we're both going to you. We'll both pay you, but only one of us gets something. Okay, so I'm only a little way. I'm like 2 miles from the Iowa border where they have Harrah's and stuff. Where it's actually you can actually legally gamble. So maybe if I go gift you PayPal in a casino, maybe for some reason that'll be legal, right? PayPal will be like, that's okay. Yeah, sure, you guys can gamble. So, you know, why don't we do that? you know.
Why don't we just hold Razzes for entrance fees instead of just being able to come in? Just do Razzes at the door. We're like, hey, go ahead and gift me.
Correct.
Actually, if you can give me $10 and then send me 1 cent as goods, that would be great because then I know where to ship it to. I know it's a sore subject right now, and I know we're kind of poking fun at it. I apologize if anybody's offended by it, but it is what it is.
You have to be able to laugh about these kind of things. I think that, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, everybody knows what it is. It's kind of the elephant in the room right now. And, you know, if you're not able to talk about it comfortably or laugh about it and just shrug it off, then you need to probably get in a different line of business. Because there's a lot more than if you think Razzes are the problem in this industry, you got another thing coming, pal.
Yeah, that could be a whole other show on its own. But I did want to kind of I wanted to talk, because we talked off the air, I think all of us have talked off the air about this subject. It seems like eBay, because we talked about PayPal, so it kind of reminded me of eBay. eBay lately for card sales, and maybe just anything in general, has just gotten really bad. I mean, they protect the buyer so much that I don't really sell that many cards. And I'm, like, working on a 20% ratio where somebody just doesn't pay or their account is deleted from eBay, and this is like after winning a $100 auction. You can't get anything out of these people, and I wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were on it, what your experiences were, and what do you think that eBay can do to correct this problem?
Oh, I don't mean to sound snotty here. It may come across as pretty pretentious, but my store manager, Brian, actually runs my eBay page because I do not have the temperament that is required to do so. I lose my temper way too quickly, as you guys know. I'm already on blood pressure medication and everything else, so, you know, I tend to fly off the handle a little bit when we find these issues or we find these people doing these things in order to get out of paying for things or whatever it is. Brian has a very good temperament. He's in the Coast Guard. He's an officer in the Coast Guard. He's been in the military for a long time. He tends to be a little bit more disciplined when it comes to, you know, foot and mouth syndrome and also, you know, going off on people and everything else. So I don't want to give my business a bad name by not having tolerance for eBay situations or people like that. But like you were saying, or we were talking about earlier off the phone, Doug, or on the phone, Doug, there's so many people out there that'll buy these cards. Like you were saying, you got to buy it now. The person buys the card immediately off of buy it now and then says, well, I can't pay for it. So,
right.
And this happens on a regular basis. I guess it's why COMC has been taken off so quickly lately. People are just tired of it. I guess maybe they have a lot of that ironed out over there, over at COMC. I haven't really had the time to fully look into everything they have going on over there. But I'll tell you, the issues with eBay and the how much the buyer is protected anymore scares me. And I literally hand the reins to Brian. A while ago, I handed the reins to Brian and said, here you go, man. You know, so, and he does a really good job for us in that sense, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard every excuse now, and you almost become immune to it. I mean, I had a situation where I had a Victor Cruz one-of-one that I had up there for like 150 or whatever. It was from Valor, so it's not a rookie card or whatnot. But I got an offer for $105. I said, okay, you know, it's Victor Cruz. I'll sell for $105. So I accept the offer. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8 days go by. I message the guy. It's like, hey, when are you planning on paying for this? His response was, my mother just died. I can't pay for this. I'm really sorry. You know, please retract my bid or whatnot. So I said, that's okay, and I moved on. Well, I was too busy. I didn't have time to go ahead and cancel the bid. So I guess eBay automatically sends them notices, hey, you need to pay for this. Hey, you need to pay for this. So a week and a half later after the 8 days, so now we're talking about maybe 20 days, he's like, hey, man, can you retract this bid? I am not a Victor Cruz fan. I'm a Patriot fan. So it's the same guy. So before he used the excuse that his mother died, now he's saying he's not a Giants fan, but he's a Patriots fan. So I said, okay, that's fine. Why would you do a buy it now on a card? You know, it's not like you mistakenly bid. Why would you buy it now on a Victor Cruz? He's like, oh, I made a mistake. I had bought 300 auctions that day. So then I thought, you know, I should have just let it go. But some of these people's excuses get me. So I said, well, if you bought 300 auctions, I thought your mother died. Did you not pay for these 300 auctions? And then he goes, oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me of my loss. You eBay sellers have no remorse, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right. You know, it's wow. Like, seriously. So it's like you hear everything on there. And he's like, you're lucky I don't report you. And it's like, report me? You didn't pay. You made an offer. I accepted it. You should be paying for this auction. So, I mean, and then, yeah, it seems like on a daily basis, and I'm not even selling that many cards, that people just don't pay, and they don't respond to emails saying I can't pay. I had a guy buy a Mike Trout for me that I asked him when he was going to pay, and he says, I don't have the money yet, but he did a buy it now on the card. So he said he was basically waiting for some auctions to end so he could PayPal the card. A week and a half go by, and then he says, I'm sorry, I just can't pay for the card. It's like, I don't know about you guys out there, but if I make sure if I'm buying a card, I make sure I have the money to buy the card, or make sure I have money coming in, like, from my paycheck or something like that within the next 3 days if I'm going to buy a certain card. So I don't know
what
the mentality is.
One thing I'm grateful for as a shop owner is, I look at an online shop, even eBay, which is an online commerce store. That's all it is. It's just e-commerce. I look at it as me walking into a store. If I go online to buy a product and I don't have the money to buy said product, I'm not going to buy the product. We don't have customers
Correct.
Banging on our door to come inside and say, hey, can I take this Mike Trout auto out of your shelf? I swear I'll come back in a week and pay for it.
Right.
We just don't have that. Normal card shops don't come across that. Although I'm sure a few card shop owners out there absolutely have stories that are close to that. But it's common sense. You either when you purchase any product, you've got to have the money to pay for it. It's just how it works. And yet eBay has so much leniency to the point now where you give the buyer, I believe it's 4 days. We have an automatic bidder or buyer, non-paying buyer, whatever you want to call it, the flag that they raise against them, and they open the case against them. It gives you 4 days. Once that claim is open against them, you then have 4 more days. So you have a total of 8 days. So say you're up there and you're a Brett and Becca of the world, okay? And you're up there and you're ripping cases on release day and getting it up on eBay as fast as you can so you can get premium dollar for the new product that comes out. Say 33% of your auctions don't get paid for on that, on, you know, when it says to pay for them. 8 days later, after the auction has ended, then you have to release your item, and then you're getting about probably 50% less for that card. So
right.
It's a lose all around, and there's got to be a better way to fix this.
There is. I mean, we're in such a time-sensitive industry where Mike Trout could have hit 4 home runs today, and then he goes to the DL tomorrow. So now your card went from devalued by maybe $80, $90. So if the guy doesn't pay, you have to relist it. I mean, it's such a time-sensitive industry. A rookie just gets promoted. You sell the card right when he gets promoted. The guy doesn't pay. Then he gets demoted by the time you're able to sell it again. It's such a time-sensitive industry to not hold these people accountable. It just, I mean, I understand they don't want to block people that buy. They want to encourage people to come back and buy, so that's why their policy is the way that it is. But there needs to be a happy medium on eBay. Ryan, I know you and Colin have been on conference calls with eBay and stuff. Is there any, I mean, have they had any kind of solutions to these problems at all? Or do you think of any personal solutions that you can think of?
I think you guys hit on one of the key traits of eBay. Is that they really focus on the customer, and they will bend over backwards for that customer. They know that there are people that take advantage of the system, per se, abuse the system. As Rich pointed out, the non-paying bidder thing, that takes time. And so you're still charged. eBay still takes the final value fee and the listing fee from you, even though it's clear you're not going to get paid. So, and then they eventually refund you, but that can take 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It just all depends when you open the case against the buyer. So everything is really skewed toward the customer on that site. I think it's one thing that has made it extremely successful, that website, is because they do bend over backwards for their customers. They have to do that because of, obviously, competition from Amazon and every other online retailer and Walmarts and Targets and all these other places. So they are well aware, though, of their place in the industry in baseball cards. It's the sports memorabilia category, which spans autographed memorabilia and fan items and apparel and license plate covers and stickers and things like that. That's a huge category on eBay. It's like only behind electronics, women's clothing, and there's something else in there, maybe like music or something. I can't remember. But it is a huge part of their business. They do value sellers, but at the same time, their strategy and how they've been able to grow this business is really bending over backward. I mean, you can't even leave negative feedback for a buyer anymore, even if the guy totally
right.
screwed you. Totally, as Rich was saying, these cards are very time sensitive. It's a very actually unique collectible because the first ones on there, the best cards to hit first on eBay, those are going to sell for a lot. And if you get paid, man, the more power to you, because you really can win there if you're ripping and flipping, or if you just have some hot cards with a guy gets hot. Yasiel Puig, you know, what if you had a bunch of his Leaf cards somehow, or those Bowman little mini inserts and stuff before he blew up? You could have came up really quickly. So, and we've seen it in the past with Strasburg and Harper, and I saw it back in the day with LeBron James. I mean, my God, I was making $100 a box. Just pre-selling boxes, you know, similar to what you guys were doing, but I just wouldn't do breaks. I would just sell the whole box. I was making $100 a box, buying boxes for $50, selling for $160 on eBay all day long. Boom, 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 this LeBron James craze. So it's a great tool for the it's a great thing that we have that there for the industry. But I hear about what you guys are saying about problems with buyers not paying for stuff or delaying or asking too many stupid questions. And that's just got to be very, very frustrating. The question that I have, I seem to recall on eBay that if you list a buy it now, that there is the option to, that they can't technically check out of the item until they pay for it. So there's no, like, I don't even know if that option still exists, but, you know, they can't technically buy the item and then stall on you or give you an excuse why they can't pay. They have to pay for that item through whatever, PayPal, whatever, and then it'll be taken off your store. I don't know if that's less desirable because there are some legitimate people who you know, quote, buy something and then do pay you 3 days later or do pay you 4 days later. I remember I sold something for like $4,000 and the guy took 3 weeks to pay.
Yeah.
And I just kind of let it out. I just kind of let him get the money together, I guess, so to speak. And I kind of figured, well, this guy's, I think, going to pay me. So I just waited, and he eventually paid me. So I don't know if that is an option to just go buy it now.
They do have the option when you're selling something to require immediate payment. But I've been on the other end where I bought something and it said commit to buy and this buyer requires immediate payment. And if you just back out of the site, like I was doing it on my phone and my phone basically crashed, you can basically commit to buy, take it off their site and still not have to pay right away. So there's ways around it. So unless I'm wrong. I mean, that was like years ago. I mean, maybe it's changed now, but when it used to require immediate payment, there was still ways around it. Like I'd buy it, like I said, I'd buy it through my phone and then I'd just back out. I've never not paid for an auction, so I'm not saying that that's the tactic I use. I just maybe I was at somewhere when I bought it or something. But my biggest thing is if somebody, like you said, the guy eventually paid you, the problem that I'm seeing is that, like, people aren't even responding, like, saying, hey, like, I'll pay you later. I'm just getting no responses. Like, I'm sending them messages, hey, when do you plan on paying? hey, you know, let me know, you know, I'll send it out ASAP and blah, blah, blah. And then there's like just no response at all. Like there's no idea when they're going to pay. So, but I mean, I don't know if this is possible. I think what people do is that they make an eBay account, and if they like screw somebody over, they just make another eBay account. So I don't know if there's a way for them to like make eBay to make you put in your social security number to do that. Maybe that would sway away buyers and they don't want people to do that. But I would like to see some kind of like identification requirement to say, this is my one eBay account for me and I can't create multiple eBay accounts.
Right. Or maybe some kind of acknowledgement that, you know, you used to be able to give these guys negative feedback. Now, you know, there's no recourse at all except doing the non-paying bidder, and then if they get so many strikes or whatever it is. But I think as long as they respond to it, I think they don't get a strike. Like, as long as they go through the non-paying bidder, I'm like you, Doug, I haven't not paid for an eBay item, so I don't really know. But I actually think if they kind of respond to it and just say, hey, I was unable to pay for this, that they get let off the hook maybe a few different times. So I don't know. And like you said, they could just re-sign up for eBay under a different account, and eBay's probably not going to stop them. They want to keep it really wide open. Amazon is a huge competitor with them, not necessarily in the sports category or the card category at all, really, at all. But eBay is obviously a massive business and shareholders, and they have to look out after all their – things they promote, and unfortunately cards is just a small niche. And while Check On My Cards I think has made some headway, and there's even other sites too, little smaller sites, I think there's something called Collector Revolution, there's forums, there's Sports Lots, which is another little site, and you know, there's a little bit of headway there. I just think it's so difficult to pull off something on a big scale where you're allowing people to sell their cards. It's not as easy, I think, as – I mean, I've seen so many sites pop up where it's, oh, come sell your cards, no listing fees, we blow eBay away, blah, 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 blah. And you just go to the site and you know, well, shit, in a year, this site's not even going to be updated.
Like, yeah, they don't have guys, any, or there's no inventory, yeah.
No inventory. The guy's able to pull it off is Check On My Cards, because if you ever talk to that guy or you do some research on him and find out that he was really high up in Microsoft doing some crazy stuff for Microsoft, and this is a really intelligent guy, and the team he has around him is extremely intelligent, and they use kind of some really unique technology to scan the cards and store the cards and do all these things, then you know firsthand, holy crap, this is why this guy's able to pull it off. Because he's actually, you know, he's trying to make it a business. He's got some acumen to him. He's extremely intelligent. He's extremely tech savvy. So, you know, it's difficult. I've heard bad things about the Beckett Marketplace too. Like for sellers, I think for buyers, it works out really well. You probably don't have any problems ordering. But it's so difficult for anybody in this industry to make any headway against eBay. And unless cards become really popular again, like in the 1990s, we're not going to see much innovation at all. Because if you can make money, and unfortunately this rings true for me, if you can make money on a baseball card website, there's a lot of other things you could be doing where there's a lot more money, a lot more opportunity, a lot more growth, instead of constantly trying to beat your head against these sports cards, which are just coming out constantly, 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 constantly buying and reselling, constantly putting up information. It's a true grind. It's a true job, and it's difficult. And only people like Check On My Cards or a big company like Beckett or a big company like eBay is able to really make headway into helping people sell their cards. I would encourage people to just set up your own website. It's so easy to get traffic now with Twitter and Facebook and AdWords and Bing ads. and all these things. You could get traffic to your website so instantaneously, spend some time, get a good template, create a really kind of pleasing-looking site, and sell your cards. Take your time and sell your cards. And start slow and build your business slow. But control your own content. Sell your own cards on your own website and use PayPal or use some kind of checkout service where you're not getting jacked on all these fees. It doesn't cost that much to run your own e-commerce site. Really could probably do it for like less than $50 a month. And it could probably really look nice. So I encourage everybody to do that because this isn't like 5 years ago where, I would create content and there was no Twitter. There was no things where I can instantly, boom, get my information out there. People were searching me through Google and all these kind of things. Now you can instantly kind of gain credibility in this industry. So I would encourage people to start their own website, especially if you're serious about it and you want to, and you're tired of eBay and you're tired of Check Out My Cards or whoever, and do your own thing because most people in this industry are smart enough to pull it off and do it and be successful at it. So that's what I would encourage. And it's just a cool thing. It just adds to the hobby. People who are smart, create their own websites, trying to sell stuff, trying to make an honest business. We need more people like that.
Well, and Rich, you probably got to get to your breaks. And if anybody's trying to get into a break tonight, I know Rich has got a good slate tonight. So LeightonSportsCards.com. You're about 15 minutes away, I think, from going live. So I wanted to let you go, man. but we appreciate you coming on the show. And like I said, everybody check out LeightonSportsCards.com. And we'll hopefully see all you guys at the National.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on once again. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to this party. I really think it's going to be a good thing for our customers. I hope our customers get some perspective out of it as to what we're all about as people and as business people and as collectors and as hobby enthusiasts. You'll find that, you know, it's nice to actually put a face to the name. And I'm hoping it changes things for some of our regular customers, and hopefully we can get some new customers out of it too for everybody, and you know, bring some shed a little light on what we do and how we're trying to do things for everyone. And again, a quick shout out to the guys at Panini. They have, like I said, I don't mean to take up any more of your guys' time, but Tim Franz, the president of sales at Panini, he has literally gone way above and beyond trying to help us out with this party. They have promoted this party for us. They have done immense things for us. Also, a shout-out to Jim Grant and Lloyd. Jim Grant, the owner of Peach Seat Hobby, and Lloyd, the owner of GTS Distribution. They have also contributed to this party as well. And they all believe in us, and hopefully we can make them proud and have a good turnout in Chicago. So thanks again, guys.
Definitely, man. Well, good luck with the breaks tonight, and we'll be chatting with you later, man.
All right, guys. Have fun.
You too. Take care. Well, and then I wanted to kind of segue in to Check Out My Cards because we were just on the eBay subject. Actually, Check Out My Cards. If you're going to the National, I think you could send this in too, but if you're going to the National and you're planning on bringing a bunch of cards, they have their special this year is actually pretty decent. For $70 flat, you can turn in 619 cards. So as much as you can fit into a 619 count box. I guess there's some kind of rules and regulations that they don't want you to like overstuff the cards and stuff like that. But it's a 660 count box. It is going to be 6 week processing, so it's a little long. But $70. I mean, it breaks down to like 11 cents a card. So if you're ever thinking about doing that, that would be an awesome way to get your cards and Check Out My Cards if you're going to be at the National. So I know a lot of people are actually going to be trying to buy stuff at the show, right? There's this guy on the Blowout Forum that is actually thinking of buying 60 cards, you know, maybe for 50 cents, dollar, buying lots and stuff, and turning them in right there. And he's planning on trying to make a profit. So he's going to let everybody know how he does. And if you're ever thinking about sending stuff in, that's a great way to do it, is with the National promo on comc.com. So.
Yeah, well, it's nothing like last year, because last year you could do
550 count boxes for $55. Okay,
wow.
So you could literally submit like 3,000 cards and for like 10 cents a card. And what happened was is that so many people took advantage of it that it like literally taxed his staff. So I won't say that I'm disappointed. I can totally understand from a business perspective why he can only do the one 660 count box for $70. But it's I'm glad I took advantage of it last year at the show and got, I think I didn't get the $5. I think I only got the $4. But I did exactly what the guy on Blowout is doing. I bought all my cards there at the show, and because I was getting them inserted on to check out my cards for 10 cents, I could kind of work out the math. I think I'm slightly ahead. So here we are a year later. I we're not talking about a lot of money, but I'm probably ahead $80 to $100 back from buying and reselling cards at the National. So there's just so many things to buy, and that's definitely possible. You could easily buy 660 cards to show, boom, turn them into the check out my cards, have $70 into your account, and then boom, reprice them and go to town. You could even keep track of it all somehow on Excel and stuff. So really take advantage of that if you're there, and I guess if you sell on check out my cards.
And I wanted to get, since we mentioned in earlier shows, that I wanted to mention my experience checking out my cards. I basically just started using them about 2 months ago. I initially sent in about 52 cards because I just wanted to see how it worked. So I got those 52. I think 5 or 6 sold. I wound up buying some cards. So then the next time around, I sent in about like 170 cards. And I'm talking about, I mean, the highest value I maybe had was maybe a $50, $60 card. Most of them were like, I mean, they were all hits, but we're talking about maybe $5, $10 jersey cards, some SPs and stuff like that. So I got to about, I think, $350 that I had sold my cards for. And then what I did is I sold my port. Now, my Beckett value on my port was like $1,800. And so I was getting these offers like $200, $300. I noticed that most people on Check Out My Cards offer about 15 to 20% of Beckett. So if you can get around 20% on your port after people have already picked through it, that's pretty good. So I went ahead and I took a $340 offer on the remaining 160 or so cards I had, and that got me up to like $650. So I had $650 in credit. So I was like, all right, what I want to do is I want to buy one really nice card to add to my PC. So I went through and I was like, I don't have a Bryce Harper auto. This is, you know, this guy's obviously year by year, all these all-stars, all whatnot. So I went ahead and found a 2011 Bowman Chrome on-card auto, graded a 9.5, and I bought it for $430. So I'm having that shipped to me. So my standpoint of using Check Out My Cards is I'm sending all these $2 cards that I've got in breaks and packs and stuff like that, and I'm kind of using it to trade up to something that will be in my PC forever. So, and it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun, like, building your way up to that card. So I still have, like, $150 left in there. I'm thinking about buying, like, a Steve Young auto or something, or maybe I'll keep it in there and send more cards. So it's definitely a fun experience, and it's low maintenance if you don't use it. And believe me, Check Out My Cards does not pay us. Since I've been using it, I've been having a lot of fun on the site. And, it's just low maintenance. It sells. They take care of it all since you sent the cards in. You don't have to ship the cards. You don't have to answer questions. It's just fun. It's great. It's easy to use. So, and more people are starting to use it because of the eBay issue.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a fantastic website. And like you said, you know, you can't get rich on that website, rich as in becoming wealthy. so it's more of a, like you said, man, I got a 600-count box of refractors that there's nothing I can do with. If I put it on eBay, I maybe get $200 for it, maybe. Shoot.
Well, plus all the
there.
Time. I mean, the time. You
absolutely.
You got to value your time, you know.
Absolutely, and the time and the effort, you've got to ship everything. I mean, you guys know full well how long it takes to sort and ship things and make sure you've got everything perfect. You don't want to ship something to the wrong person. So that takes a lot of time. Check Out My Cards handles all that. But like I said, it's not a thing where you're going to be paying your bill, so to speak, but it's a great way. Hey, I can get a $400 Bryce Harper 9.5, and I've done that. I haven't got something
that nice, but I've got a few other lesser items that, yeah, they're in my collection. A Buster Posey autograph, Will Clark autograph, Michael Olick candy cards and stuff. I flip cards so I can buy $1 Michael Olick candy autographs, and those are plentiful on there. So just a really, really fun site. Good site if you want to make a few hundred dollars here and there, maybe 100 a month, 200 a month, 300 a month, and no work, basically.
Right.
Those are
absolutely.
That's the dream come true right there, when you don't have to work that hard for your money. So.
Exactly. And I know Dan's got to be getting going here soon. I wanted to kind of touch on 2013 Elite Football from Panini that came out last week. We did a case and then some. Dan, what were your initial thoughts about the product? What do you think the overall value in the 2013 Elite?
I think it's my favorite 2013 product so far. Base cards are clean. Big set. They had a couple different changes that were a little funky. The first and down, second and down, third and down, fourth and down cards, where it has like little spinning down marker. And on the other side, it's a relic. I guess those are like SP, depending on what down it is. And some of them are low numbered. They're like numbered to 10, but they're like single color relics. It'd be nice to see a little bit of multicolor on those. But they're a little, to me, it's a little gimmicky. I don't know. I don't really like any moving parts in my sports cards. I just want to keep it basic. But besides that, I mean, the auto, I think they call it like the inscription autos, which are on the acetate style material. Those are really, really slick looking cards. Good looking cards. They do have different colored autos that I assume has to be based on the print run. I've seen blue, red, and green autos. Not sure. I haven't seen anywhere. I was wondering if you've seen anything where it was written, maybe on Panini's website or something, that what the numbers are. Like, what are they numbered to? Is the green like the most SP'd version? Is the red the most SP'd version? Is the blue the most SP'd version? I think I've seen, out of all we've opened, I think we've seen the least amount of green than anything else.
I think green. Yeah, I'm looking at.
They have that on the site. Yeah, Panini's blog, they have a blog post where they do explain it, and they give the numbers. And another thing, too, on some of those, it says personal edition. And those, I believe, are numbered to 25. I had somebody email me about these cards. They pulled a Geno Smith. It said personal edition. It was the same exact thing as those acetate cards, but it says personal edition in gold above the autograph. And those are numbered like 25 or 30, very rare, and not that many people know about them. One sold on eBay for about the same as the regular versions, which are probably quite a bit more plentiful. So definitely be aware when you pull those cards, if you're out there or if you're out there shopping for them. And on Panini's blog, you could go there and search Giannis Elite. It'll give a breakdown of what the green, I think it was what, the green, blue, and red, and then there was a black version, I think. And then there's this personal edition stamped version that I believe are they're not serial numbered, but there's only 25 or 30 of them of each player.
Yeah, because I just picked up
the green.
I just picked
the
up
green,
really.
I think it's 10.
No.
Yeah. It's
really?
A 10 or less on the green. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, I just picked up, and not a lot of people know about it, because I just picked up a Kenny Stills, right? Same guy had a blue and a green ending at the same time, and I picked up both of them, and I think I paid $6 for the blue and like $5.50 for the green. And $5.50 for
Whoa.
The green. And
That's
I was
a deal.
Like, and I figured, I'm like, you know, one of these have to be SP'd and one's probably not. But he wasn't getting any bites on them, and because I just don't think people know what the different numbering on the different colored autos are. So if you're looking out on eBay, some of these rookie premier guys who are there signing these cards, you may be able to get a really good deal because the information is just not really out there yet.
Yep.
So Yeah, I mean, if that green's numbered at 10, I just, shoot, came up.
Yep.
Yep. I should have had my fingers on that one, but I didn't. It is right there.
Shoot, came up.
but I mean, I think it's a good little set. I don't know if you have to take off yet, but I think if somebody's a good speculator, because look, everybody knows, we've said this time and time again, the 2013 rookie class right now obviously is not selling compared to the 2012 rookie class. Well, one of these guys is going to emerge. You can get Geno Smith, you can get EJ Manuel, good autos right now for under $100. I mean, you could, if these guys just start, I mean, literally start. If EJ Manuel starts, you can probably double your money. So it's.
Well,
it's,
I mean, I'll tell you. Sorry, I'll tell you a couple of guys. I mean, Kenny Stills is selling for nothing. Robert Woods is like selling for under $5 to $6 an auto. Like,
wow.
I mean, dude, Robert Woods may be the number one receiver on Buffalo. I know Buffalo is not amazing, but dude, that guy's a big boy. I mean, there are certain guys who are going up like near $100. I mean, I know EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Tavon Austin, like these guys,
Monty
like the marquee guys, Monty Ball. But there's also guys like Tyler Wilson, who may be the starter. You can still get his autos for like $25. I mean, they're spiking a little bit because I think everybody's speculating that he may win the job at a training camp. But Cordarrelle Patterson, who I think is going to be a stud. I think Kenny Stills is going to be a stud. Based on, I mean, one thing the Saints like to do is pass the ball. They're going to throw the ball. And Drew Brees will make anybody a Pro Bowl receiver. So,
yeah.
Stedman Bailey you can get for under $5. Vance McDonald, that Niners tight end, you can get him for under $5. So there's a lot of rookie premier guys out there who are going to break through. One of these guys is going to break through and be an all-pro player, and you could be picking up autos for like $5.
Shoot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They don't even have to become an all-pro player. Kenny Stills could just have a very good season, 800, 900 yards, 10 touchdowns. His cards are probably worth $15-$20. So if you can get them for that $5 range, that seems like an absolute steal for some of these things that are, you know, to the greens are to 10, the reds are to whatever. I mean, God, if you can go through and pick that up, like Doug was saying, this information isn't readily available. Somebody emailed me, and I had to go look it up. I didn't know about I knew about the cards. I wasn't really sure about the ink variations and what they were numbered to, what order it went, the personal edition stamps. I mean, I had to do a little bit of research, so not that many people know about them. I definitely would look at, if you're into football, go search your favorite guy elite and see if you can get a deal like Dan did with the Steelers cards. I mean, that's an amazing deal, and if the guy does it just remotely well, let alone if he becomes a stud, you just shoot came up right there.
Well, I mean, in football, because they play it once a week, it only takes one game.
One game,
I mean,
exactly.
Example, say Vance McDonald goes out there and he gets a 100 yard game and he scores 3 touchdowns. His cards on that Saturday were probably selling for $3 a pop. On Sunday night, after everybody gets their stats and they're sitting in their fantasy league trying to pick this guy up, his card's now up to $25-$30. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it every football season. It's literally like right after the game, you see like this ridiculous spike in cards where guys go off.
Remember Randall Cobb in 2010? He had that 100-yard return in his first game, and boom, it was like, man, Randall Cobb autos just jumped.
We've seen spikes every year, like in over a full season. I mean, you've seen spikes in Patrick Peterson, like his cards like were going for nothing, and they ended up going for a lot after he ran back a couple kicks. I think he ran back 2 kicks against the Rams in like one game. His cards were like they were going through the roof. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd kick the ball to him if you already ran back a punt, but I mean, why not?
Yeah, no, and
but,
and yeah, And what's good about Elite, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Prestige. I think Prestige was a great set. I think Bowman was a decent set. But Elite, after all the releases come out, Elite still relatively sells for a good amount of money. So even though it's like only the third or fourth release that came out this season, come 10, 12 weeks down the line when there's already 8, 10 releases, it still holds its value pretty well, where the Prestiges and the Bowmans and the Scores have kind of devalued. Elite is one of those staple products where if you invest right now in the right guy and you get lucky and you buy like 20 autos of Kenny Stills or whoever, Ogletree, you know, these guys can jump and you can have a nice little payday on just investing on these $5 cards.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're gonna be talking about this in the middle of the season, and we're gonna have like 5 to 6 guys who are gonna be extremely collectible out of this rookie class, and maybe, you know, probably not gonna be guys who are drafted in the first round, but there's still gonna be guys making a difference week in and week out.
Right.
The talent's still there. I mean, they were talented to get drafted. I mean, there's a lot of guys who don't get drafted. I don't think we're gonna have to worry about. Yeah, it's not going to be last year. It's not going to be with a Luck and Wilson and RG3 and Doug Martin and Trent Richardson. That's like a once in a decade draft class right there. But
yep.
you're gonna see guys emerge and be good players. You're gonna see guys who are gonna be stars, guys who may even be all pros and stuff like that. So, and they're gonna be guys that you're not gonna expect. That's just the way it is.
Yep. And we got Donovan waiting on the line from CardboardTracker.com, so we're going to bring him on here in just a few seconds to give away our VIP package. Everybody that retweeted and the few that did call in, I'm going to use the random.org right now and random it 3 times, and we're going to let you know who won here. So let me go ahead and do it once. We got Mike McKenna on the top, Stro WRM on the bottom twice. We got Enos69 on the top, Sports Mystic on the bottom, and the third time, R9T. Ryan,
cool.
R9T, boom, gets the VIP package to the 2013 National. He increased his chances by calling in last week, and it looks like it paid off for him. So congrats, Ryan. You're the winner of the 2013 VIP package, so we'll be in contact with you, and we'll get your information so you can get in there, man. So we appreciate it. And, yeah, so that sounds good. So congrats on that, and thanks for everybody. We'll have some giveaways from the National, especially when we come back. I'll have a ton of stuff to give away on the show, whether it be the Panini packs, what we get at the VIP party. We'll give that stuff away. So stay tuned for a bunch more giveaways. Yeah, so stay tuned, and we'll be giving away break spots every show like we do as well. So I want to go ahead and bring on Donovan here. Donovan, what's going on?
All right, you know, I'm pretty crazy, but getting ready for the show.
Awesome, man. Well, for those of you that haven't heard of this awesome site, it's called CardboardTracker.com. It looks like you just implemented a nice new little logo here, so CardboardTracker.com. It's a really great, useful tool if you're like looking to see who has the buzz for prospects for baseball, football. We got basketball and hockey. Talk about a few guys. I'm looking at the front page here. It looks like Andrew Haney has been catching some steam as of late.
Yeah. I mean, these are kind of guys from a couple weeks ago that kind of picked up. You know, I think everybody's kind of seen what's going on. They were either injured or not, you know, or they've come up after extended spring training, and now they're finally getting looks, you know, in the hobby. But yeah, I'm in the process of updating the new list, so we got some stuff has changed. You know, after the Futures game, there's been some action in that respect, and a lot of people going after Xander and Syndergaard and Butler after their performances, you know, during the Futures game. So I've definitely seen direct correlation between people that watch that and then have actually gone out and tried to find cards. So it's pretty interesting to follow.
Definitely. Now, tell us about, you have some plans for the National. You're going to have a booth. Tell us what you got got going on down at the 2013 Nationals.
Yeah, I figured I just basically just want to get a booth out and kind of get the site in front of people and talk to people, you know, about what the site's about because I felt a lot better to go face to face with people and give them, you know, a tour of the site and exactly what it, you know, what it means to the hobby and how you can use it effectively, you know, in terms of following players and prospects and even auctions, just trying to find out, you know, maybe, you know, if there's, you know, if you're bidding on something, you know, it's a popular item, it's nice to go and look and see, you know, how many people are watching it. So is there going to be a lot of competition for that card? Do I need to maybe bump up my max bid just in case or
right.
Stuff like that?
Yeah,
so, I mean
it's been a very useful site for those that, once again, it's cardboardtracker.com, all one word. You know, you go on there, you can see the front page where you guys have, you know, some hot prospects, and then you can click on the different sports and see the rank change from 1 day to 7 day to 30 days based on popularity. So I've used it for certain prospects and you could use it to see, okay, you know, like for baseball, you could see, this is how I've been using it. I'm like, I look down and it's like, okay, I look at Anthony Rizzo and then I go, okay, what's his price? Can I get something for $5? He's been watched lately, but maybe I can find a good deal on him. Or, you know, Max Scherzer's kind of ranked, he's getting up there kind of high. You know, he's had a few good games. You know, so it's a very useful tool if you're prospecting to go on to Donovan's site here and use it to help you prospect. And you can even break it down into teams, too. So if you're a Colorado fan and you really don't pay a whole lot of attention to minor leagues and you want to see who's coming up, you can look at the you know, the Colorado, who's hot, you know, which guys, David Dahl, you know, which guys are starting to come up on the card market, which translates to success in the minor league game as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea, is just being able to get that overall picture of what's going on, you know, even though, you know, it's really tough to, you know, keep track of everybody. So it's nice to be able to have something you can quickly reference and say, wow, this guy jumped up 100 spots and he's in the top 100 all of a sudden. Like an Arzmiti Alcantara, what happened there? What's his deal, you know? So, and then, you know, basically we try to break that down too on the front page and give you an idea of what, you know, what the reasoning is for that, you know. So
sure. So when it comes to, I know you're a baseball guy, what kind of prospects have you been buying lately based on, you know, kind of the information that you've collected?
Unfortunately, I've been focusing on trying to get, you know, certain things with the site, so I've kind of cooled a little bit on my direct prospecting. But you know, I still have, you know, I was heavy into Springer for a while, and you know, just kind of sitting and waiting. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's mainly guys that were kind of around, you know, around my area or from my team, you know, that kind of go after. But you know, this at least helps me, you know, gauge maybe low level, you know, prospects that are of a lower, you know, lower cost value that you can get into and maybe buy a bunch of and turn around and, you know, you get those multipliers and they, you know, you get them to quadruple or whatever and to make a nice little profit.
Sure. And now what, in your opinion, I've heard, you know, conflicting reports of it's better to sell. So if you're buying a guy to sell, you're buying a prospect to sell. Most guys say you want to sell like right as they're getting called up or right before, because a lot of times, like if you look at a Jose Fernandez, even though he's doing good, his cards were a lot lower than they were when he was a prospect. So,
right.
You know, when do you think is the proper time to kind of cash out at the peak?
Yeah, it's really the player. I mean, you can look at like Trout, and he got called up,
yeah.
And everybody was out unloading, and think if you had bought, you know, in that downtime, and then, you know, he jumped up so high since then. It's really, you know, I think you have to look at it as, you know, what do you have invested into it and not look back.
Sure.
If you do want to unload it, you know, okay, I've made three times whatever, you know, if it goes up to, you know, 10 times that, then, oh, well, at least you made something on it at the time. It's, you know, nobody's got the crystal ball. So, but, Well, a lot of it goes on to, you know, how, what your feeling is with the player. You know, if you feel like they're going to be more than just that guy who gets called up and has that initial push. I mean, you definitely see it more with pitchers. They really get that push initially, and then unless they, you know, they do well or they're on a team that's doing well, or team that's doing well. I mean, Fernandez is just, you know, he's on the Marlins, so it definitely hurts his value.
His value, yeah.
So, but, you know, in 5 years, if he's a Yankee, you know, what does that mean? What does that do for his value? I mean, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and you know, with this 2013 rookie class for football, switching to sports here, it looks like Tavon Austin is number one ranking, and you got Geno Smith, Monty Ball. Have you seen any changes now that there's been a few products that have came out now that we have like three products out with 2013 rookies? Have you seen anybody kind of pick up some steam when it comes to the 2013 rookie class?
Yeah, Patterson, Cordarrelle Patterson, definitely picked up some. I've noticed over the past, you know, month, he's definitely jumped up there. I mean, it's definitely, like you guys were talking about before, it's definitely an interesting class. And I think it's, like, a really good class if you want to get in on it early, and because there's definitely good buys out there right now because nobody knows who's going to be good out of this class, really. I mean, you know, someone's definitely going to hit. It's not going to – I mean, and especially after you get past the top five, you know, one of those guys, you know, you have, like, a Lattimore or you know, the Quentin Patton's like an example, the Niners, you know.
Right.
That whole receiving situation there. And they've got, they've got the guy that's on the practice squad that doesn't even have a card that, you know, amazes me, Lockett, and they keep talking about him being, you know, kind of this guy who could come out of nowhere because he's buddies, you know, roommates with Kaepernick, but, you know, he's not even in the market anywhere, you know.
Wow, I didn't even hear that yet, so that's nice. Yeah, that's good to know. So that might be a guy that it becomes extremely short-printed if he comes out because they don't even have him in, like, 6th, 7th, 8th round autos that they throw in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that could, you know, end up being, like, an NT thing, and that's just going to be, you know, by the time they get around to, you know, printing him, he's going to be in the higher-end stuff probably at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good situation. That's a good point. Like, the Niners, for example, you got Bolden, and then you have Crabtree Hurt. So you have Quentin Patton, you got the guy from last year. Why is his name slipping my mind? And I have tons of cards. And then you got the guy, the rookie.
Jenkins and Manningham.
Yeah, so one of those guys is probably going to get maybe 800 yards, 900 yards. And if it's Patton, that's a really good rookie receiving season. So, I mean, I know you can get Patton for cheap right now, Elite Autos at $4 or $5. So it could be a guy. And that guy was actually really talented in college, but had some off-field issues and went to a small school. That was the biggest complaint, was that he went to a small school, didn't compete against big colleges. So that's why it affected his draft position. But they're saying this dude's super talented and quick and got good hands. I mean, we've seen him at the rookie premiere, so we can kind of see he's got a little bit of – we got a little bit of thug in him, but – you know, you got the gold teeth and all, but
well, that's good. I mean, well, you get to see, you know, physically what they're like, and that probably, I'm sure, has an effect on, you know, what you thought coming away from there. Like, man, this guy's a beast. I'm sure, you know, it's probably, you know, you at least you got more direct on, you know, you're on the field with those guys. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. Vance McDonald was a huge guy, and they're actually talking about that guy's looking pretty good. So that might be another tight end that comes out of nowhere now that there's a void left with Delanie Walker for the Niners, that there might be a hole to fill to get some yards there. So
yeah, that's all.
And it looks like you started some – what have you seen with the 2014 hockey class? I know you have a little article about some of the names here. Is it kind of too early to tell? Obviously, you got Nail, who's a big name. Has there been anything with hockey prospects that have kind of picked up so far?
Yeah, they will. I think what Upper Deck just came out with Trinity? Is that –
Trilogy,
Trilogy, I'm sorry. My T's wrong. a few of those guys I've noticed have jumped into the top, you know, out of nowhere into the top 100 in the list, because they're actually last year's class, but they're finally pushing them out a little early, I think, you know, since since they weren't able to print any last year. So yeah, that's the first from last year's class that they've been able to get in there. And now we're still waiting for this year's class to enter in all the products. But they were showing them all draft day signing stuff. So I don't know how long they're going to wait on that stuff. But
I keep talking over you because I got excited over a guy by the name of Dougie Hamilton that I think I'm just going to buy strictly on name. So, but go ahead.
That'd be good. But I mean, the draft class this year, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, between McKinnon and Druin and, Seth Jones and, you know, there's definitely it's going to be a huge year, I think, for hockey products. I mean, especially since last year was such a punch in the gut, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see.
Definitely. Anything else to say? It looks like you got some good people need to follow you on Twitter @TrackCards, which I'll actually tweet out properly. I actually put Cardboard Tracker when I tweeted the show out. So I'll go ahead and tweet it properly so we get the right call name in there. Looks like you got some good articles. Anything else you'd like to say, promote the site or anything, Donovan?
At the show, I mean, if you're at the National, definitely stop by. We're going to be over by the concession stand, so when everybody gets hungry and doesn't want to leave, we'll be right there. So if you turn around, just stop by and say hi. I figure that'd be a good traffic spot midday. I'm going to have a new thing I'm starting that's called the card show cheat sheet. So every Friday we'll have an article a PDF that you can print out that will give you, that'll break down all the different rankings of sports. So you at least have some players in your head that, you know, when you get to the show, I'm always like, oh, wait, who am I looking for? What was that? Who's hot? What's going on? So I'm going to try to break down all the top 10s in each category and then the top 10 trending in each category. So give you a good idea of, you know, who's moving.
Definitely. We love seeing the site grow. And I mean, it was a void that kind of needed to be filled. I mean, we all kind of look for these kind of rankings. I do a lot of eBay searches myself. So you've kind of put it all out there for everybody to see. I think you definitely need to go ahead and favorite it on your web browser as cardboardtracker.com. And I mean, it's very useful. I'm a prospector, and I also collect 2013 rookie NFL rookies. So it's kind of a cool thing to kind of look at and keep up with. So, and you should definitely come hang out. If you're not busy, come to our party with us at Layton if you're free.
No, yeah, definitely. I definitely want to go. I saw that Topps announced their party the same night, so it'll be interesting to see, huh?
Oh, really? Didn't know that.
They have a special sign up. Only 150 people can get in to like ask questions, and I'm sure everybody. It's 150 people that are going to be asking questions about redemption. So I don't know how that's going to go over.
I think you just swayed Ryan to go to the Topps event.
Oh no, I'm so mad now. God, I'd rather go to your guys' thing, but you know I have to be there for that Topps thing. So you'll have to. You'll have to pardon me if I'm late to the party. Although if you guys are in a bar, it might go all night, so I can cruise through after I've sufficiently questioned Topps and have some fun at your guys' thing.
Definitely. Well, Donovan, we don't want to take up too much of your time, but once again, everybody that's listening, and I will, like I said, I'll tweet it out as well, cardboardtracker.com, and we look forward to seeing you at the National, man.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for getting the word out and helping get it in front of people. It's been good, you know. It's slowly building. It's getting there, but you know, I got a lot of ideas in store as it continues to grow. So it's definitely going to evolve over time. But you guys have definitely been a great help.
Yeah, and we'll continue to have you on as the site evolves and more things happen and more releases come out. We'll have you back on.
Oh, that's great.
All right, man. Well, you have a good one, and we'll see you in Chicago.
All right. Yeah. We're looking forward to it. It should be fun.
All right. Sounds good, man. Well, you have a good night.
Yep. You too. Bye.
All right. Bye. Well, that's good to know. I get. I know Tops was really late to the party, so to speak. They didn't announce any of their national talk, and I know people were getting upset, saying, "Oh, Tops, you know, I'm not going to go to the national. Tops hasn't announced what they're doing. Blah blah blah." So I guess they're having that party, which is, I guess, I don't even know if it's a party. It's probably going to be more of like a bitch fest, pardon my English. But you know, I don't know who they're gonna what squad dummy they're gonna put up there, because it's gonna be literally like cannons coming out this guy. So hopefully they give out. Maybe they figured they'll do it like on a night and they'll get everybody liquored up and maybe give them free WBC packs that, you know, they don't sell right now. And you know, maybe the questions will be not quite as harsh if they do it on a nighttime event. I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is.
It's essentially like a summit-style conferencing. They traipse up their, like, dozen employees that basically is the entire company, and they, you know, they do kind of they do little contests. They have a giveaway, a bunch of stuff, so it's good to kind of win something. There's no booze. There might be some sort of little hors d'oeuvre or something or soda you could get. The thing is, you'll be surprised at how many fanboys Tops does indeed still have that don't care about the redemptions, or it doesn't impact them somehow, or don't care about customer service, or they don't ever need. Cause so there are going to be some pure Tops fanboys in the room. So always have to be a little careful in those situations so that I don't offend anybody or make anybody mad. And, you know, the thing is, I'm going to be sitting there blasting Twitter, like, when they're talking and stuff, like, ba-da-da. So I won't even have time to really ask them probably questions, you know, because I'm going to hopefully let other people talk. And who knows, maybe what I think is wrong with the company, that's just my opinion. So that's just my deal. Whereas there's going to be 150 people in the room that have a different perspective, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is. I'd rather let them say their thing, you know, and me just kind of try to, I don't want to say report on it because, like, you know, it makes me seem like I'm important or something, but just kind of get the information out there in my own way and see what happens. I'm sure there's going to be, last year they did the same exact thing. Yeah, there were some people there that were asking about redemptions or asking about certain situations, customer service issues, and I think Tops handled it quite well. Now, Mark Sapir was kind of leading the whole thing last year. He's obviously no longer with the company. Although he has close ties, it wouldn't surprise me if he makes like a guest appearance and starts talking. I mean, the guy seems to, like, I don't know if he's still on the payroll or what, but he still, you know, loves to talk about Tops. So God bless that guy. So, you know, that'll be interesting. I'm disappointed that it's on the same night you guys are doing your thing, but I'll get over to where you guys are out
I want you to go there because I want to hear about it. So I want someone to be there. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Disneyland. Have you ever been to that Abraham Lincoln mechanical, you know, the robot thing at Disneyland? That's what Tops is going to do. They're going to go ahead and put out a guy in a top shirt, and it's going to be like a robot that only says boom or something. You're going to ask it a question, it's going to go boom. No, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But I'm just saying. He was going to say, oh, buy 2013 triple threads. Buy 2013 triple threads. And that's all it's going to say. Just over and over and over again. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Hopefully it's productive. And that's why I say I want you to be there, because I want to hear about it and we can share it on the show, you know. So, because I would love to be there. But I'm going to be at the party. So, you know. So, I don't know. Hopefully they address this. You know, I know redemptions are going to be the topic of conversation, and obviously them not taking, shutting their site down for a month or whatever they did to work out the kinks on redemption is going to be an issue too. So sales on Tops are good. I'll give them that. Bowman Inception, I mean, it jumped through the roof. Museum did pretty well. I mean, WBC tanked. I mean, WBC Tribute dropped down $100 from cost. So, and liquidating. I mean, you can get it on we pre-sold it at $230, and it's down to $130 now. I mean, that's
hello. Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, because they didn't put anybody in that was like, there's no Puig, there's nobody to chase. So, you know, you know, that's that. But, I mean, sales are good. Like you said, there's people that have different opinions on top, some good, some bad. I would assume it's going to be a lot of questions on redemptions, though.
Hopefully. That'd be great, actually. I'd love to see those guys squirm a little bit. It would make it exciting for me, selfishly. And whenever I start talking about tops on social media, it always seems to draw a really big crowd. So selfishly, of course, I want them to talk about redemptions and customer service issues, and I'll be right there kind of championing the cause. So we'll see. I haven't looked into too much of tops lately. You know, I've been getting death threats from group breakers and lawyer emails and all this stuff. So I've been a little and I've been on vacation the entire month. So I think I've been in where I normally live for only about 4 days. So too much to do. I'm looking forward to that meeting with Top because it'll be the first time actually in probably about a couple months that I've actually thought about what's going on over there. Have they made some improvements? Maybe there have been. Maybe they're going to say, oh, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. We're going to, you know, maybe there's a plan that they're going to talk about. At least a little bit. So I'm trying to come in with an open mind in that respect.
Definitely. Well, you know, last second edition of the show, I got Tracy on the line. So, you know, I was actually just going to go into what they're doing at the National. So we'll hear from the man himself. Tracy Hackler, what's going on, man?
Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. This week I have my brother and his wife visiting from out of town, so I've been taking a few days off and hanging out with them, but I got your tweet and thought it, that would be a nice little break to give you guys a call and give you as much info as I can on what's coming up next week and where we're at and why we're so excited.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, we're excited for the VIP event, for one. We're excited about the redemption thing you got going on, so... You know, whatever you want to start with, what you guys got going on, people want to hear it.
Well, honestly, you know, I think every National, we strive to kind of steal the show with our Rapid Redemption program, and this year will be no different. Scott Prusha, who is one of our hobby marketing managers I share an office with, who kind of puts together these incredible promo sets with really show exclusive memorabilia and autographs and instant redemption cards for autographs, memorabilia, and sketch cards. So he's pulling out all the stops. And
nice.
The Rep Redemption program, we're going to start doing kind of a full court press on our blog, The Knights Lance, and through Twitter and Facebook on the kind of cool, unique cards. We've shown you the base set. We've shown you pretty excited about some of the rookie cards in this year's National set with obviously Yasiel Puig and his first Panini numbered rookie card, guys like Neil Yakupov and Alex Galchenyuk with their first numbered rookie cards. All the rookies will be numbered to 499, and for those who don't know the drill, you will have a full list of eligible products that you go on the floor and you buy from an authorized dealer, and you bring the product to our booth and open it in front of us, and you get the equivalent number of two-card National packs. And
nice.
We're really excited about this year's set. And then obviously kind of in conjunction with that, but on a whole another level, is the Panini America VIP party that we held our first one last year to rave reviews with special guests there like Gordie Howe was at the front door greeting guys as they came in, and Pudge Rodriguez was there, John Riggins was there, and it's a really fun time. And I think the entry point this year is for people who spend $7,500 on the show floor through authorized retailers will get themselves an invite to this exclusive invite-only party, and Mr. Puig will be there to entertain
nice.
Party goers, and we have a lot more surprises that we'll begin kind of revealing in the coming days. But and then we also, for the first time this year, we're going to have Chase breakers at our booth doing live shows, and you guys are obviously in that mix, along with Leighton and Chad the Truth, I think, is going to be there. Ken Fudd's going to be there. And then, so that'll be a new twist that's exciting. We obviously embrace that segment of our industry and love what you guys do and are happy to partner with you guys on your party that you're having on Friday night. And and then David Sharp will be set up again this year, our customer service manager, doing the live redemption trade-up program. And, so, man, we got a lot of stuff planned, but we're really excited about it and can't wait to get to Chicago here in about a week.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, and I've heard the VIP packs are going to be loaded. I also heard that last year that you guys, for the VIP party, there was gift bags that were pretty good. So not only you get the great products for $7,500, you get the national packs along with those, and you get the VIP entry. So,
absolutely,
I mean, it's...
Yeah, a lot of great stuff, and you know, it's our way to kind of reward our most loyal consumers and partners, and we kind of set the bar last year really high, and we plan to exceed expectations again this year.
Now, do you think Yasiel Puig will sign a Giants hat? No, I'm just kidding. But
that's a fair question. We're actually creating a special Panini Authentic print that he is going to sign for all the people at the party. So it'll be a pretty exclusive, low-numbered piece. And we're excited, man. We still have some big guests to announce in the coming days. And obviously, with National Treasures Basketball releasing next Wednesday, the day of the National starting, it's going to be that'll add another level of intensity and excitement. And just a lot of fun right now, and this is one of our most important events that we do every year, and we spare no expense to give back to the people that support us all year long.
Yeah, and you guys, and I do want to give a special thanks because you guys are the first company that has recognized the breaker industry, so we appreciate that, and I know you guys are making special breaker packs as well, so they're going to be available. More details to follow with us on our end on how we're going to disperse those, but Panini is actually making breaker packs for people that participate with the breakers that break at their booths, so those are going to be exciting as well, so special thanks to none of the other, we've kind of been, I can't really find the right word, maybe slime of the industry in other manufacturers' eyes, you know, and it's kind of been a run where finally we're getting some recognition for what we do, and you guys were the first company to step up. You guys were in that Group Breakers meeting at the summit, so, you guys realize that, and not to take anything away from the hobby shops out there because it's a different animal, but there's a lot of people that don't have the hobby shops that participate in the online breaks, and to be able to be backed by you guys and promoted by you guys is amazing. So,
well, yeah, we're excited to be a part of it. Like we said, we've been with you guys, not just Mojo Break in particular, but a lot of the reputable case breakers we've been supporters of from the beginning, and we have obviously realized you guys as a kind of a robust, vibrant segment of our category that continues to grow, and look, man, there's enough to go around, and between you guys and the brick and mortar shops and online retailers, we have a nice synergy working, and we're going to continue to grow that.
And back to the VIP party, how many drinks does it take for you to do the Dougie at the VIP party?
I don't need any liquid courage. I mean, I'll do the Dougie. There could be any number of articles of clothing that are taken off. I mean, the event itself is exciting enough for me to it's just a real fun event. I think last year we didn't know
definitely.
Well, to our expectations, it's a real fun time, and I think everybody who goes will have a blast.
Now, let's talk about, before we let you go, because I know your time is valuable here, Tracy, talk about the redemption trade-up process that you guys are doing at the National, which is, you know, we were just talking about redemptions with one of your competitors and how much of a nightmare it is. Our experience with you guys has been amazing on how you guys fill redemptions and how fastly you guys get out the cards, but we all know the athlete can't sign all the time, so you guys are doing this program, and tell us a little bit about the redemption program at the National.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a program that started last year. David Sharp, one of his first big initiatives when he came on as our new customer service manager, essentially collectors need to have pending redemptions in the system that are 4 months or older, and they just bring their paperwork to the booth at the National on any of the Wednesday through Sunday. David will have a booth or an area set up there, and he will just one by one honor the outstanding redemptions for those who want to trade up. And I think he's got them broken down into 50, 100, 150, and $200 levels of pre-selected, pre-valued lots. And if you have a redemption that's $40, you'll get a guaranteed $50 in value or more when you trade up, and that'll fund with the $100 level, $150 and $200, maximum of up to $400, I believe, in total redemption cards. So it was a really successful program for us last year, kind of a pilot program, and we've since taken it to the Toronto Expo, and we're going to do it again this year. So it's a lot of fun. I think we've gotten the word out. People know what to expect, and it's a great way to get kind of the instant gratification that you missed when you pulled the redemption card.
Nice. And before we let you go, Trevor had a question in the chat, and I don't know if asking about the U.S. soccer license with you guys. Is that something that's in the works for soccer products?
Well, nobody does soccer on a global level like Panini does, and we have a long exclusive history with FIFA for the World Cup license, and we, you know, I think anything that has to do with soccer in this market or internationally, I think we're going to be a player in. So I don't know specifically right now about the USA license, but I would never rule it out when it comes to soccer and Panini.
Nice. And lastly, for the products that are available for the National, where can people find out what and when, which products they can buy?
We should have a comprehensive list of all eligible products Thursday or Friday of this week, and then obviously we'll blast that out often between Thursday or Friday and next Wednesday when the National starts. So, but check the Knights Lance, our blog, and we'll obviously also put it on Twitter and on Facebook. So we're not hard to find, and we'll make that list as available as absolutely possible.
Awesome, man. Well, we appreciate you actually coming on, like, literally last minute. I mean, that's how great Tracy is. I literally tweeted him 10 minutes ago, and he came on the show. So, I mean, that just shows you not only about Tracy, but about Panini, that they're willing to come on and help promote their products and answer questions and just get in front of the customers and people like us. So, man, we really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you in Chicago. And once again, we thank you for helping Sports Card Live and Mojo Break, you know, grow and become, you know, what we are today.
Hey, guys, it's my pleasure. Always enjoy hanging with you guys. Look forward to some meaningful fun that will be had next week. You guys have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
And I'll promise I won't get you any ass salad while we're there, so we'll keep that out of the, you know, off of the buffet there. So,
look, if we pull it, we got to call it what it is, all right? But hopefully that's at a minimum.
All right, man. Well, we'll see you next week, buddy. Take care.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for those of you guys that don't know, actually at the summit, Tracy was opening some NT baseball. And there was somebody in the blog room that was saying something about ass salad. So that's how that came to be. So every time we and Tracy had a funny comment like, oh, man, I already had lunch or something. So every time we I kind of run into Tracy, I bring up the ass salad. So being tasty. So Very cool Panini, guys. I really appreciate Tracy once again, and look forward to Panini Signatures basketballs dropping tomorrow. So look for that. It should be a pretty cool little basketball release. And, man, guys, I'm sorry I didn't let you talk, Ryan. I was just surprised he came on so quickly. So
that's great. I'm sounds like they've got a lot of great things for collectors. I might even, you know, and the thing is I had about 8 Panini redemptions. I've gotten all of them back but one, so that's maybe why I don't ever say anything negative about the Panini redemption process, because I think the only one I don't have back is like a Josh Selby thing to 10 that might be like 5 or 6 months old. So I might indeed bring, follow the steps, bring my thing to the booth and get one of these trade-up programs to kind of maybe check it out, and why not? It'll knock my last redemption off the books with Panini. And it sounds like they got a lot of great things going on. They always have a really large booth. Like, the collectors that will go there, you'll actually see the marketing budget for these companies, because Topps booth will be about, like, this small little – there'll be card shops that have bigger booths than Topps does. But Panini's will be this sprawling, like, 1,000, 2,000-square-foot kind of setup with multiple tables and places where you guys can open cards and different and things set up and pictures and all this really cool stuff. So people really get to see the difference in kind of the mentality at these big events when you go, and you're going to see what Panini will pull off there. So it should be exciting. Great. It's a busy time for them, so it's good that he found time to call us and let some people know what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I know their customer service guy, who he mentioned, David Sharp, I've heard he's answering emails like 10 o'clock at night. I mean, the dude's just working. So whatever, you know, whoever kind of dictates the orders or whoever's in charge there is doing something right, because he's getting these guys motivated. They're motivated to come on shows like ours. They're motivated to do other stuff, go on other radio shows. They're motivated to put out the videos and stuff. So, you know, it's one company that I do want to see succeed. I mean, they are succeeding, obviously, and you can see by their presence at the National. You can see some of their products that they're – I mean, what people don't realize is that Panini really took over the Donruss license in, like, what, 2008, 2009. So
right.
2009, 2010, there was, like, a little bit of trial and error, and people were ripping on some of their products, on some of their designs, but – I mean, just think about it. I mean, you're coming into this game. They obviously had their presence overseas with the stickers and stuff like that, but they had to kind of wade around and do through trial and error on products for the U.S., football products, basketball products, now that they're a new player in the game. So I think, you know, give them 10 years, 5-10 years, you might see the tables turned if Topps keeps going the route that they're taking with resting on their loyals, no customer service, not improving designs. You might see the tables turn. And if the license comes up and Panini grabs the MLB license, I mean, that could be just a big game changer. So,
would be interesting.
You know?
Sure.
And yeah. People may say, oh, it's because you got Tracy coming on and he gives out free stuff that I'm partial to him. I mean, it may have a little bit to do with it, but Topps has had every opportunity to, A, come on the show, A, retweet, A, call me back, you know, and they don't. So, I mean, if they did reach out, I might be saying these same things about Topps. So, just to put that out there for everybody as well. But,
well, yeah, you get what you give in this industry. Like, I mean, you can go back and listen to a few of the sports card radio podcasts I did at the summit about Topps and some of my dealings with them. And total lack of disrespect they've shown me over the years.
Yeah.
We've never asked them for anything. I never asked them for anything. I don't need checklists. I don't need information. I don't need this, nothing. And to disrespect me in the manner that I saw like it was, and then to disrespect customers. And then when that's what got me to start looking into things, because I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then I saw that they were disrespecting customers, redemptions, not answering the emails, long wait times for phone calls, disrespecting emails back to customers. I mean, that's going to boil my blood and really send off red flags. So, and you sure that not everything's rosy at Panini, but they certainly put more effort into their customer service, into their marketing, into their communication. And,
yeah,
they're a brand new company. Like you said, they bought Donruss out of bankruptcy in 2009. they've it's a growing thing. It's a growing thing. In 10, 15 years, we may be having a different conversation about them. But at present day, it's a growing card company. Thank God they're in this industry. Nobody wants to make cards right now. No, it's not a business. It's not a lucrative thing. They didn't have to buy Donruss. They didn't have to blow everybody away and get an NBA license. We could literally be stuck with Topps and Upper Deck right now, which are two, frankly, they're just really jokes of the industry right now. They don't have a lot of employees that give a shit. They don't really have a real sense of how to do things properly in kind of this new age. You know, Topps, they just have one guy, and he just kind of blasts tweets, and it's really kind of incoherent sometimes, and these stupid contests and shit. Give real information. Provide real value, like what Panini's doing, the trade-up program, the $7,500, and you get to get into a VIP party. It sounds like a lot of money, but there are a lot of people who are going to spend, you know, same $500, no problem. Boom, buy a couple cases, and you're there. So they just – and their booth, like I said, you're going to go there, and their booth is going to be four times the size of anybody's. So it's really – you know, they put an effort into this thing. We've seen what happens at the summit. They put an effort. Look at what they're doing for you guys, for group breakers. They're making special packs. They're letting you open at their booth. They're promoting you kind of indirectly there, or actually directly there. So they make an effort, whereas it seems like everybody else, like, F you, buy a product, buy our packs, F you, we don't care if you don't like it. And if you have to wait 2 years on a redemption, we'll send you some Doc Gooden sticker autograph because we couldn't fulfill it. That's just a giant middle finger. This giant middle finger, and that really irritates me.
It goes back to, I think, and this is in any business, it goes back to passion. I mean, there's obviously who, and we may have had this conversation on prior podcasts and prior shows. It just seems like whoever's in charge or the higher ups were hired out of college. They maybe not have a sports background. They maybe don't have a card background. And there's just a lack of passion at the top. From Topps, I mean, Upper Deck, I haven't dealt with a whole lot. So, I mean, I don't really see much about them. So maybe it could be the same thing. There's actually a really good, if you Google the rise and fall of Upper Deck, it's an article about Richard McWilliam. It's a very good read. It was just written about a couple weeks ago by, I forget what website did it. It was not a cards website. It was like some kind of a sports website.
It was good. I read it.
Yeah, it was a really good read just about how Richard McWilliam just basically put fear into his employees and started just chopping everybody and just kind of led with an iron fist. And that's what got them to success. And then obviously his wretched drinking problem, where he would freaking be drunk all day, actually caused it to fail at the same time. So one guy basically brought him to success. One guy took him under too. So a very good read. But yeah, it goes back to passion. Tracy was a former Beckett employee, so he's had a card background. He's passionate about it. He loves sports, so you can see that when he talks. They hire guys that are passionate. And that, you know, as far as I could see, you know, and that's what I think that Topps doesn't do. A few people that I've met from Topps were these guys fresh out of college that, and I have no problem with college because college is, you know, brought some of our greatest leaders in society, and now I'm getting political on you guys. But there's a lack of passion there with these guys. They didn't grow up with the cards. They didn't work for a card shop or something like that. And that's what I see. And I wish it would change at some point.
Absolutely.
Maybe go to the most successful card shop for the next, like some guy that's been in business for like maybe 20 years and hire that guy or something. Offer him $100,000. Say, hey, I know you've been struggling at this card shop, but we know you're passionate. Work for Topps. Give him $100,000. He's passionate. He'll freaking work all day on cards because he loves them. Hire somebody like that, you know? And that's what Tracy has. That's what Scott Pusha has. That's what this Dave Sharp, that's what these guys have. They're passionate. So, I mean, that's my rant.
There's a lot of knowledgeable people. That's the funny thing. I was in a card store in Omaha, Nebraska, and like four or five people came in the door that knew twice as much about cards than I do. And I've been I started working at a card shop when I was like 12 years old and have pretty much been in the industry since then. But there were guys who knew the sets backwards and forwards. Hire a group breaker. Hire a reputable group breaker. Hire them. They know the sets backwards and forwards. They know what works. They know what customers want. They know how to treat customers well because group figures are dealing with multiple people on multiple levels and issues and shipping and all sorts of different customers. Hire a really good person like that. Why do Topps hire these people who have no effing clue about sports cards? And that's the honest truth. Talk to these guys about cards. They don't even know what, aside from what's on the sell sheet, they can't tell you anything about these sets. Like, these guys don't know anything about these sets. It's just there. They show up, and they got their Topps polos on, and they strut around in their little cheap suit jackets, and, you know, they think they're the shit. And it's like, dude, you guys don't know anything about this industry. There's all these card shop owners, all these collectors who don't even have a Twitter, don't even get on the damn internet. They know 10 times more about cards than me, than the people at Topps, than a lot of people. There's so many knowledgeable people that would probably love to work at Topps. Maybe not move to New York, maybe not work to Pennsylvania, but there are ways to do that. I talked to a girl. She works at home, and she books reservations for Marriott 40 hours a week, and she absolutely loves it. They set up a little computer in her house. She has a dedicated phone line. Boom, boom, boom. This girl loves it. She crushes it. She kills it. She makes a ton of money for Marriott. She makes a ton of money for – why couldn't you hire a group labor to handle some customer service issues? Obviously, monitor their emails. Make sure they're doing a good job, like any other job you would have. Your emails are probably getting monitored and so on and so forth. But hire somebody worth a salt. And handle some of these issues, at least communicate with people aside from form letters. So I know I'm going on and on and on and on about
no,
this.
No, and I agree. I think what it is, and I think we talked about this too, but let's face it, Topps is owned by a portfolio company. So being owned by a portfolio company, the person on the top of the portfolio company wants to see a Michigan graduate in marketing on the staff. They don't want to see no guy that worked at a car shop for 20 years. They want to see, okay, you got all your ducks lined up. You got this guy who's got a PhD on your staff. You got this guy. It doesn't matter what kind of personality they have, what kind of interest they have. I could make more money doing something else, but would it be as fun? No, I love doing what I do. I love talking sports cards. I love opening packs. I can come to work in a T-shirt. I don't have to shave. I mean, I have to bathe at least once a week. I'm just kidding. You come in how you feel. You do something you love, and I think that's what happens with Topps of these guys I hired at college. This guy may be into frickin' sewing for all we know. That might be his passion, but he was taught to go to school and get an $80,000 a year job by going to school, and Topps hired him at $80,000. And he doesn't love it, but he's paying his bills, and he's got his little house, and he's got his family he's working on, but he's not passionate about his job. He hates his job. He hates dealing with people on Twitter. He doesn't like baseball cards. He never collected, but he's making $80,000 a year because he went to school and had to pay his college tuition off.
Yeah, look at the people who have left the company recently. If they love their job and they're passionate and they were getting treated great by Topps and in benefits and salary and all this stuff, they wouldn't have left. They wouldn't have left for another opportunity. If you really love something, you wouldn't just quit or move on to something different. Or if the opportunity was there to grow into a better paying job at Topps or whatever, it's not happening. They're trying to sell that company and there's no buyers. I think my brother talked about that on one of his recent podcasts. The thing's been for sale for years.
It was for sale when they bought it. It was like a rip. They wanted to flip it. Whoever bought it has had it for sale the whole time. Literally.
And it's just trying to make things. That's why they don't process redemptions, is because they have to make the numbers look good. They can't hire a ton of customer service staff because that costs money and that cooks your books. You need things to look good. Somebody who buys this company, they're not going to come and call me and be like, can you tell me about the customer service at Topps? No, they want to look at how much money it makes and what products it has and what licenses it has and what partnerships it has with the MLB and how strong that is and what is the growth potential. There's obviously not much growth potential. That's why nobody's bought it. I mean, it's not a very big company. It's not worth more than $300-400 million. It probably could be considerably less than that. So it's not a very big company at all. Companies get sold all the time for billions upon billions. I mean, what is Pinterest worth? What is Twitter worth? And they make no money. They make no money, and these companies are worth billions upon billions of dollars. So there's not much market for it, and they know that, and it sucks. And knowledgeable collectors see right through this whole sham. They see it's just a business. That's all Topps is. It's just a business where it at least seems like at Panini, they bend over backwards for you. You know, for better or worse, they bend over. And that, just try. Just try.
And they want to create those loyalties. And it looks like we have 40 seconds left. So I do want to say a quick thanks to Cardboard Tracker Donovan for coming on, and also Tracy Hackler from Panini America for coming on. And, you know, everybody that listened in, we appreciate all you guys in the chat. We got Mojo Break has four breaks tomorrow. We got Inception Randoms. We got an NBA Signature Series 12 box. We got a nice epic baseball 7 box with lots of Trout possibilities. So check that out, and we'll see you next week with a bigger national preview. And since we didn't do giveaway break spots this week, we'll have a lot of giveaways next week. So we'll catch you later. Check out sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. We're out.
Later.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.